Greetings in the name of our soon coming Lord Jesus Christ. We're here with another message from the Word of God, and we trust that it will reach you, not only your ears, but also that it will penetrate and reach your hearts as well. And if it does, it will bring forth fruit to the honor and to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your speaker is Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas. Now, just a reminder that in our last message to you, we called attention to the first question as asked by God in the Old Testament, and of course it was addressed to the first man, Adam, and that was after he had become a fallen creature, after sin had entered into the world. And that personal, pointed, and very important question was, Adam, where art thou? And then we stress that our God is set forth in the Word of God as the first evangelist, the first one seeking the lost, seeking the perishing. Now it is my purpose today, by the help of the Lord, to call your attention to the first question as asked in the New Testament. Perhaps some of you already could anticipate me, and you would know what this first question is. However, I shall read it to you. In the second chapter of the Gospel by St. Matthew, and reading at verse 1, it reads thus, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And I would have you notice in a very special way those last words, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And that, of course, is very important because they came to the right place, and furthermore, they were in search of the right person, the only person that can take a sinner's sins away and can take a sinner to mansions in the sky, and meantime, give that man rest and peace and joy in his soul. Now, this is the first question, then, as asked by man in the New Testament. Will you listen to it? This is what these wise men that came from the east said. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Very, very important. And their question was well directed, and certainly it was an appropriate question because in the Gospel by St. Matthew, our Lord Jesus Christ is set forth as the King of the Jews. In the Gospel by Mark, he's presented to us as a God's servant. And in the Gospel by St. Luke, we have God's man. But when you come to the Gospel by St. John, you have God in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we're going to look at this question, and then we're going to come very close to our hearers and press this indeed in a very special way upon your hearts. And we trust that it will bring forth fruit to the glory and to the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now think of the question, first of all, where is he? That is, our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you turn to the very first verse of this gospel, it's most appropriate, and it opens up just like this, that is to say, St. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 says, This, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. So when you begin the New Testament, you're at once introduced to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Eternal God. And then let me remind you, you can find him anywhere in the Scriptures. Turn, for instance, to the Gospel by St. John, chapter 5, and you read there verse 39. It reads like this. In fact, these are the words of my Savior himself. He said, Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now I think that's very, very important, and I think it's exceedingly precious as well. Think it over with you as we quote it once again. He said, Search the Scriptures. Now invariably when you come across that expression, Scriptures, these Scriptures, it has a reference in the main to the Old Testament. And you would find Christ in the Old Testament. Now there are those, and especially his own people, and when I say his own, we're referring to Israel. And I have conversed with many of them, and they would tell you that our Lord Jesus Christ is not to be found in the Old Testament, but listen to his own words, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. Now shall we add another one to this? In fact, there are many more, but I'm going to ask your attention, please, to the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, and to the 10th chapter, and just for brevity, we shall read verse 7, and you notice carefully, will you? Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, that is to say, it's written of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God has as its chief subject our blessed Savior, the Son of the Eternal God, the one that was ever his delight. In fact, he could speak of it that way. And if you go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, he says of himself, I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. But that one who was daily his delight and rejoicing always before him came into this world of sin and sorrow, this world that had been ruined by the fall of man. He came into the world, as we are definitely told, that he might destroy the works of the devil, or that he might undo the works of the devil. And so the groundwork for that was laid at Calvary. Now, just one further thought, and then we're going to hurriedly pass on, because I want to get to something that will be of real concern, and all we've said surely has been. The epistle, for instance, to Hebrews chapter 10, the chapter from which we have just read this one verse, where it says, the volume of the book is written of me, and in that 10th chapter we have, first of all, the Father's will. Second, we have the Son's perfect obedience. And then third, we have the Spirit's witness to that blessed one. Oh yes, you turn, for instance, to the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, and we read of him there that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In other words, he voluntarily took that place. And then we read that God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But let's proceed further now to answer that question. Where is he? Well, now, actually, he's in heaven. He's in the presence of God. He's seated with the Father upon the Father's throne right at this very moment. But soon he's coming back again. And I should like to stress and re-stress that the day of salvation, the day of grace, may be fast running out, and indeed it is. And if you expect to get saved, you're going to have to be in a hurry. For we read, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And today he's seeking poor sinners in grace, and he knocks at your heart's door. Oh, give him a place. Wouldn't you bid him enter in today? He'd like to impart to you just exactly what your soul stands in need of. Now, someone has said, if you could put the entire world into your heart, there would still be three aching voids. And your heart can be filled only by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yes, if you have Christ in your heart, receive him as your Savior, you would be born of the Spirit of God, and you would have that that would delight your heart and fill your soul and fit you for glory, even here and now. And in other words, you do not have to wait till you die to find out whether or not you're going to heaven. But right now you can know and enjoy and experience present and eternal salvation. But let's come back to the question now. And I trust that not only the wise men of the East who came to Jerusalem were asking, where is he? I sincerely trust that some of you who are listening in today will be saying, where is he? Oh, I wish I knew exactly where he was. Well, let me just give you a quotation from the Word of God. If you were to turn, for instance, to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, you would come across an amazing statement that goes like this. He is not far from every one of us. Isn't that interesting? And is that not very, very precious? Yes? He is not far from every one of us. Oh, but let's get even just a little nearer than that. For instance, if you were to turn to the Gospel by St. Luke, chapter 19, and verse 10, you'd read an amazing statement that goes like this, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And may I tell you that no one ever gets saved unless they first of all learn that they are sinners and learn that they are lost, because there is salvation, and salvation only for those who are lost, and salvation is found in our blessed, adorable Lord Jesus Christ. But now then, we said we're going to get closer and closer. Where is He? Well, I'm glad to be able to witness and testify today that He dwells, as we have just quoted to you, He is not far from every one of us, but I'm going to show you from the Word of God that He comes even nearer, nearer to that. Now, if you want to find that expression which said, He is not far from every one of us, you could turn, for instance, to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, and verse 27. But now I want to turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, or at least I shall just quote it to you. It's a very well-known, well-worn, but an exceedingly precious portion of God's Holy Word. And this is what it says. "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from the dead, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead." No, no, listen to this. What says it? Now this, what says the Word? "The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the Word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And now listen, He would be dwelling in your heart today, and you'd have an assuring word too from Him: "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Yes, He would save you today, and save you with an everlasting salvation. Now listen just a little further. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Oh, wouldn't you like to have Him in that heart of yours? And then you'd no longer be asking the question, "Where is He?" You'd be able to say, "Thank God, He dwells in my heart. He's my Savior, and He is my Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." May God bless His Word. And if you're interested, drop a line to the station in which you're listening, and make further inquiry, and we'd be glad to help you. For His great name's sake, amen.